Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thanks for checking out another episode. I wanted to tell you about my friends out of Naked Vine, located in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up the finest wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Stop by for some great live music on Thursday, November 21st. Phil and Carson of the Scandaleros will be there Friday, November 22nd, Diesel Island. And Saturday, November 23rd, Find a Drive takes the stage. And I'll be back out at Naked Vine on December 10th for my monthly singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, bringing along my good friends Jackson Stokes, Caroline Steinkamp, and Alexander Rui. So do not miss this event. It's December 10th, Tuesday, 7 o'clock. It's a $10 cover at the door. All the proceeds go directly to the artist. It's going to be an incredible evening, so come on by. You can find everything at Naked Vine at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you haven't made plans yet, either for your Blackout Wednesday, November 27th, Hillary Fitz Band will be taking the stage out there at Naked Vine, so it's going to be another fun night to get your Thanksgiving festivities started. So I also wanted to let you know about Heil Sound. That I'm recording this intro right now on my brand new Heil microphone. Check them out at heilsound.com and pick up some new gear while you're over there. Also want to say thank you to Joseph Meyer Club. They've been a part of the show a while now. They have this fantastic foaming aftershave I've been using, and I really love it, and I think you will too if you check it out at josephmeyerclub.com today and enter my code RPPJMC20 during checkout for an exclusive 20% off your purchase. So that's about it for me today. I want to remind you all, if anybody's interested, I do have shirts and hats, stickers, buttons. If you're looking to represent some Rock Paper Podcasts wherever you go, let me know. Feel free to email me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you just want to say hi or let me know what you think of the show, I would love to hear from you. So feel free to email me. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and so please reach out. With all that out of the way, sit back, enjoy this brand new episode. Have a great day. Thanks, everybody.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Katara Parson, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at the Pocket, right here in St. Louis, next to Off-Broadway, with Katara.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is very cool. I don't know. I mean, if anybody's listening for a while now, I've started a lot of these this way. But it's our first time meeting, and we just, you know, been hanging out for a little while now talking. But that's what I love about doing this show, is it continues to introduce me to new art, you know, well, not new, but new to me. You know, people getting to meet artists around St. Louis making music and getting to talk to them and share their music and stories. And so very, very glad that it continues to happen, that I continue to meet great artists around St. Louis making music. So
So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And we should also address, if anybody's hearing some background noise.
It's pretty mellow, guys.
Yeah, there is a band rehearsing here at the Pocket this evening. So if your band's looking for some rehearsal space, check out the Pocket, STL.com. With all
I
that.
I like that plug.
Yeah, hey, you plug. Know, that's yeah. what, gotta show some love, so. I'm glad to be here hanging with you, getting to talk about, we have a big debut album coming out. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And big release party happening. So we'll get into all that. But like I said, this is our first time hanging out. So I kind of want to get a little bit more, about your story. I guess I always like to kind of start with, did you grow up here in St. Louis, or are you...
Oh, yeah. Grew up in St. Louis, born and raised. Grew up in the west side of the city, poverty-stricken area, you know, but moved to the south side, and I feel like that's kind of where I stepped into my power as an artist, or just even beginning to think about stepping out into the art community. Mm-hmm.
Was it family influenced, or was it?
Oh yeah, definitely. My mom and dad's side are just full of musicians and artists. They all stayed in church, unfortunately. but me, I decided to, you know, take a different route.
Did it start in the church though?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. As much as I, you know, may not be a part of it anymore, I still will always honor like my roots. Mm-hmm. Just starting off in church, that's where I first played the piano, so
yeah that even today, like a lot of our friends have church gigs, like as musicians and stuff, just, you know, hired players to come in and play some of those services and stuff. So like there's a lot of great musicians and a lot of great music still to even, you know.
Yeah. Well, even playing in church, it just makes you a better musician overall. That's the one thing I do regret is, although I was raised in church, my mom was a choir director, so I had to sing. I didn't have a choice right. but to sing. I didn't play church music on the piano. Like, I went up to the piano and, like, discovered seventh chords. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what the hell anything was
right.
at 8 years old. I just knew with two fingers that I could play these pretty sounds. So that just kind of developed into this soul, R&B, jazz with classical influence sound.
Mm-hmm. Right. You, when you start kind of wanting to perform and write some of your own stuff, is that start soon, or was that something you just started discovering later in life?
Definitely later. I'm definitely a late bloomer. Just kind of grew up with really bad anxiety. Grew up being the quiet kid, basically.
Yeah.
Just awkward, socially, just a lot of social anxiety that I struggle with. And I would secretly, you know, all these feelings that I was feeling, I would take it and put it into my music. And I would hide it from people. Like, I wouldn't tell people that I was recording or just doing anything with music until 3 years ago.
Mm.
My friend just invited me to this open mic, to be a part of his open mic called Lyrical Therapy. And I joined his band. And I remember the first time I performed, my hands were shaking, like, right. my voice was shaky. It was a travesty. And like, 3 years later now, like, I have a residency, like, I'm bringing out my first album, and I've grown to be more confident in myself and my story, so.
Yeah. I mean, you're not alone. There's so many people that have a similar story that just, like, they're stuck in their room or basement or whatever.
Oh, God,
and,
yes.
And they just can't get over that stage fright, you know, that idea of being on stage or whatever it
being
is.
Being judged, like, just afraid to show, you know, afraid to be completely vulnerable in front of a bunch of strangers.
Sure.
Like, you don't know these people. You don't know what the hell they could be thinking. Like, they could be thinking, you know, you don't know if you're good or not because you never put yourself out there to be received by people.
Right.
So I struggled with that for, like, a good 10 years until I finally was just like, what the hell, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Who's that? Who was that got you out there?
Lyrical Therapy.
What was your friend's name?
Richard Washington.
Richard?
Ricardo, you know.
Yeah. Well, shout out to...
Ricardo.
Yeah, making this all possible.
He chased me for like... Because we went to high school together. And ironically, we met like doing a audition for a talent show. And we were supposed to be singing together "A Whole New World" or something like. I can, yeah, it was high school, but of course, you know, I went to Gateway. Somebody got into a fight, so the talent show got canceled. Never happened. But me and Ricardo just grew to become friends, and then we graduated high school. And like, he chased me for 4 years, trying to get me to be a part of this open mic, and I'm like, yeah, I come, I think about it, yeah, and then I never do it. And one day, you know, he called me, we talked for like 2 hours, and he convinced me to just come and do it.
Did you, so you played keys, or did you just do like poetry, or how, what did you do with that open mic?
Like, we just had a rehearsal and just became a band, yeah. Like that night.
Right.
And then... Like the Sunday that came up, like we performed the songs and people loved it, and like the therapeutics happened.
Right.
And then next thing I knew, like more people were coming to watch the performances, and then people were coming and asking me to come and perform at a festival or an event that they were having. Then somebody would see me at that festival or event, and it would just be a snowball effect of things that happened.
Yeah, that's the message right there. Just take you gotta believe in yourself to take that first step. But then things start happening. Just people want you to be great and like want you to succeed. So like they want to give you opportunities to hey, come do my show, come be part of this. So it's really cool that all that you kept going through all that. And you are now here with a brand new record. We got, like I said, big release party. Cocoa Voyage. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's like Santarjay.
But I'm really excited for this and for everybody else to get to give it a listen. Let's put in the first lead single that's out there now. A little while back, you released this track and a video to go with it, also titled "Phoenix Rising." And this is all available. I get the single's out there right now, right?
Mm-hmm. So, all platforms.
Yeah, so you can find that wherever you're getting your digital music, and find the video on the YouTube page and all that. Click subscribe. Which the video is powerful. It's very very well done, and you get to do a little acting in there.
Oh yeah, I had to make it very personal, of course. Yeah. It's the emotional artist in me.
Right. What was that like though? Like, I mean, like I said, just a couple of years ago, you were scared to even sing, and now you're.
Well, that's the crazy thing about Phoenix Rising. That song is literally like what I've gone. It's a documentation of what I've gone through, like in the past 3 years, what I continue to go through. Being told that you need to pay small, that your voice doesn't matter, that you don't have a voice. Being ostracized in any kind of way, being told that your authentic self, something's wrong with that. So I hid that for a long time. And like the lyrics is, gotta be afraid to fly. Sky's too blue, clouds is too high. So even great things like I feared.
Mm-hmm.
So, anxiety like is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like that's all I can say.
Yep.
Trauma, yay.
Gazes back like she knows. free. Go where I want, where I wanna be. I'm not afraid to fly. Born with the right to know what I feel.
I wanna fly.
The line that jumped out to me was, I want to be who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that was, that's pretty powerful stuff, though, for sure.
Because, like, I'm just asking to just exist as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's literally all I'm asking for.
Yeah. It's beautiful, though. Well, you, again, find it everywhere, digitally, wherever you're finding music today. And but you will be able to, we're doing physicals, right? Are you doing physical copies?
Yes.
So you can pick up a brand new copy of this on November 29th at the Dark Room. And this will be a free event. And you, what, about 10 o'clock or something?
Yes, 10 p.m. on the dot.
And just you, an evening with you and the band?
Yes, and I will be having a close friend of mine, an amazing artist and producer, Kong, opening up for me with a DJ set.
Okay.
Yeah. Dope producer and DJ, guys. He just dropped an EP called Clouded on SoundCloud.
Nice.
I got to plug my homies.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. Come on out that evening. Like I said, it's a free event, so no tickets needed to show up. And if you haven't been by the Dark Room, you're really missing out. It's an incredible space. Great food, really cool bar, so it'd be a great Friday night out, so come on over. But let's talk about this record, though. This is, did you record all this here in St. Louis, or do you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Phoenix Rising, I actually recorded, and I collabed with Mastermind on that one. He actually helped record, like, a good first half of the songs. But we just got together, and I was like, I immediately wrote this song. Like, I don't know if it was just the journey of me getting over my anxiety and finally getting over that stage fright and that fear of just putting myself out there in front of people. And at the same time, like, I started going to Mastermind to record music. So I was just like, I got this song. I got this song. I need to record it now. I was like, I'm thinking, like, Erykah Badu meets Kid Cudi. He's like, what? It's like, yes, spacey, like, funk, celestial type song. Just, you know, see what you could do. So I did the, you know, the chords, the piano part, and then he did the percussion on top of it.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, came to be something that really got me through a lot of days, a lot of dark days.
I just had me and Mastermind did one not too long ago and had a great time hanging out. And he's a bad dude. He's really,
yeah,
really
super inspiring human being.
Yeah. I mean, I love to see all the success that he's continuing to get. And like, it's just really cool to see. So, big shout out to Mastermind. Doing big things.
Oh, yeah. Big things. Dr. Scholes. Yeah.
He helped produce, you said, about half of the record, and it was all recorded here in St. Louis, so that's cool to, was he who helped on the other half of it, or did you do some of that yourself, or?
Well, no, oh, no. Well, let me clear one thing.
Or is that just Phoenix Rising?
Because as a woman musician, I get this a lot, like, oh, I compose, produce, arrange, all of that.
Okay.
Most of the songs, at least three of the songs I collaborated with other producers on. So, like, for example, Phoenix Rising and about two other songs I collaborated with Mastermind on, Najee Person, Kong, and then as far as mixing, Kevin Collier from The Dark Room, he just came in and just swooped and help me like finish this album.
All right.
So it's like it's awesome working with all of these guys, but like I acknowledge that, you know, I got to start letting people know that I compose and arrange most of, you know, everything.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's definitely something to be proud of, like, yeah. So especially your record and, you know, having your hands in all of it, you know. That was exactly what you wanted to be and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, that's the issue with being a perfectionist, because it's still, like, stuff that I want to do, and it's like, okay, you got to let it go. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think there's, like, I think there's probably pros and cons to all of it.
Yeah.
But I think there's some people, I've had conversations in the past with, like, guys that, you know, they play all the drums and play all the guitar parts and do, you know, whatever it is, and they sing and they record and produce it and all, whatever, and it's like, and it's cool that you can do all that stuff, but sometimes it's nice to invite somebody else to be a part
that's
of it,
very true,
to give you some perspective and like, this is not good or this is good or whatever it is, like, you know, kind of, you know, be a part of that creative process to sort of like help you out, because sometimes you can get too much in your own head and where you're like, you're overdoing it too much, and like, you just, ooh, you know, so
that's one thing that Mastermind and Kevin Collier taught me is that, like, because I like to use a lot of vocal layers,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, don't put all the ideas out at once, like, let it build up. So I got a lot of jewels from these guys,
for sure.
Yeah,
very nice. Well, you want to throw one in another one?
Yeah, sure.
Another, this is, so I'm excited about this because this is an exclusive sneak peek at one. And you said this one is like the most elaborate one on on the record?
Yes. This one I collaborated with Kong on, and we had some additional production from Mr. Wes Gray. From Farfetch, he's an awesome rapper and friend, family almost, just about. And we had an awesome time doing this song. I like to call it like a Lauryn Hill on crack. I don't know. Lauryn Hill meets Outkast on crack. Yeah.
And this is called Chill Reprise.
Mm-hmm.
Distance of the instances of me at you, 'cause time be just a distance when our conversations bloom. Incense to hit this, gonna be a tears night moment with perfection. Face me at will, like how we feel when we make this love connections. Attracted to your strength, you appreciate my delicacy. When all went in, I can see your face telling me I got to tell you how I feel. Listen, I got to tell you how I feel.
a diet, let it go. No try ever cold, yeah, we be a natural flow. You got this natural flow, yeah, that I'm attracted to. You like my natural fro, yeah, I be a queen to you. You be smooth with the words and bolder with the verbs. You feeling all these herbs, you feeling all my curves, curves, curving, curving, swerving as you drive. Driving, wasting gas, gas, stopping 55. You stare, but I don't care. I'm usually conservative. Intuition knows that you got a lot to give. Vision, missions, goals, what our conversation is. Wishing on our hopes, yeah, that our dreams find a place to live. On this catastrophic planet, I dream it, you plan it. I plan it, you dream it. I know we gon' see it, greet it, then seize it. Commotions and a rhythm, sound waves and replays and futuristic visions. Rewind me three times and watch me be magician. Invested in my jesses with a message to my mystic. Melanated, sugar coated, fully loaded mystic. Call it kiwi watermelon, leather quench your senses. Sentences articulating and educating misfit. Fill with little doses of that virtuoso true shit. Haters blow your noses and pull out your fruits and eggs. Hide all your shoddy bars and bar up your crucifixes. It's a cold flow season. And I'm feeling rather ruthless with no reason.
You ever seen Lauryn Hill?
No, I want to.
I saw her at Lou Fest here.
Oh yeah, what was it, 2017?
Yeah, something like yeah. And it was interesting. Like she's incredible. Like I mean everything. I like the Miseducation and Fugees and what I mean. I like it all, but like that performance though at Lou Fest, I felt like everything was like remixed or something, you know, it like nothing sounded like the record.
Oh.
So like, yeah, it still sounds good. Like it's not like it's bad, but like some of it I wanted to be familiar too though. You know, you want to hear the way you knew it and kind of thing. Like everything.
Exactly. She didn't have a band or anything?
She did, but like everybody, they were like different arrangements or like all the, or like everything was like
trying to keep it like fresh.
I guess. I don't know. Everything felt like it was up tempo too. Like I mean, which is good, but like it just seemed like everything was going through the set real fast and like I don't know. It was just
it didn't feel authentic.
It was just different, you know. Yeah. And it was like some of that, especially an artist like that, where it's like those songs are like so iconic in your memory, and like you want to hear it how you knew it on the radio and everything. And so, I mean, again, some of that it can be said both. Like maybe the whole set was too much, you know, doing it like that. Like it was something like, you know, some familiarity. And but like I don't like when everybody does exactly like the record, because I like having a live performance, you know. Exactly. It's like sometimes you want to hear some of those different things, because that's what makes the live show something unique, you know, not where just like hit and play on the record. So
exactly, it's just finding that middle ground, right? Keeping people engaged.
Yeah. So but it was fun still. I mean, like she's a good performer, obviously. She but
yeah, so. She just dropped a single today.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
check that out. I knew she heard some talk about maybe coming back around this year or soon or something like that. So,
oh, yes. Yeah. I hope she finds me.
Yeah. So, but that would, yeah, she's, I mean, yeah, huge voice and a great writer and everything. Like, so, was that, were you listening to a lot of that Lauryn Hill and stuff? I mean, or like, were the same, some big influences on you?
Oh, yeah. Her, Lauryn Hill, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Claude Debussy. That's random, but yeah, it's Claude Debussy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But this seems to be falling down a little bit.
And a multitude of just different classic rock bands from like late 60s to early mid 70s.
Yeah.
I called it the sweet spot of music.
Oh yeah.
Like every genre was good in 1977. At least I like to think so.
Sure.
Let's see if that works. All okay. Right. Technical difficulties.
Yeah. Yeah. So, your parents have a bunch of those records on vinyls and stuff. Is that where you guys started listening a lot?
Or? Ironically, no. Like I was raised on, and that's the other influence. Like I was raised on gospel and soul and R&B music. Mm-hmm. But I just remember us going out of town one day when I was 14, and I heard Queen for the first time. And I heard, I cannot remember the name of that band, but just hearing Queen and just hearing Paul McCartney for the first time, I heard Paul McCartney and the Wings for the first time, and it's like something about, like, I instantly started crying. But it's something about, like, lush vocal layers and just very big, just... extravagant sounds that grab me. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, people like Uriah Heep and Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, like those guys are huge influences on me. And I kind of put, you know, the jazz legends on the same pedestal. Like, you know, of course, Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, Ronnie Laws, like that funk, sweet little spot of funk, like fusion jazz that happened in like the mid 70s. Late 70s.
Yeah.
And post-disco, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Quincy Jones.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a lot of genres, I know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, though, like, because, like, my music's all over the place, too. Like,
yeah.
I like it all, and, like, I kind of, my taste, I lend to a lot of, I like just acoustic folk, like, type of, you know, singer-songwriter stuff a lot, too, Americana.
Yeah.
You know, just... stuff like that, but I also love like blues and rock, blues based rock and roll, and just obviously funk, reggae, all of it. I mean, it's just like,
oh, yeah.
I'll go all over the place, but that's, I mean, I talk about it a lot, but I work at Broadway Oyster Bar because that's where I get, you know, see all kinds of eclectic music coming through there a lot too. And so from, yeah, you get some blues, some funk, some reggae, whatever. So,
oh yeah, I gotta head down there. I've never been there before.
Oh man, you're missing out. It's a great spot. The food, the music 7 days a week. It's always a good time.
Oh God, yeah, okay. Yep.
So we got this record. This has been again. New, so I guess what is officially like 3 years in the making then, since since that's when you kind of really stepped out doing this thing.
I really started end of 2016, I believe. Yeah, end of 2016.
You started just writing these songs, and then you're like, I got enough to think I can put together a record now.
It was more like I have this thing to where, and I know it's from the people that influenced me. I kind of came into my music career backwards because I'm influenced by people of the past. Like, I have like albums already pre-planned.
Okay.
like, okay, this is gonna be the jazz EP, and this is gonna be the hip hop album. So this, I was like, this is gonna be the introduction to Katera, to kind of introduce people to my sound. But then it became my story.
Mm-hmm.
It became my lessons. I went through a lot to get this recorded. A lot of ups and downs emotionally. And then listening to the album, like, is what got me through half the shit that I went through, like, getting this album perfected, at least to a point to where I want to put it out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a journey. Like, it really was a journey. And
it was a voyage.
Yeah, it's a voyage into like human vulnerability.
Sure.
Like the chaoticness of our emotions, like my emotions, because like, I know this is TMI, but I'm going to therapy, you guys. Cue hand clap. But I've always been just like an extremely emotionally intense person. So keep in mind that as an introvert and socially awkward person, like, that's a lot to hold in. So it all just kind of spilled into these songs. So when I felt what I felt in that moment, like, those lyrics, like, are everything that I felt in that moment. Mm-hmm. So Coco Voyage is like a collection of just the roller coaster ride of feelings that people go through on a daily basis. At least me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's big to... I think we're getting there, I think. I feel like slowly but surely people are talking more about therapy and mental health.
Yeah.
And just openly discussing some of these things, because it was for so long it was just kind of everything was hush, you know. It was like,
yeah, it's like, you know, start off extremely taboo, and now it's just like it's not as awkward to talk about anymore, you know. Sure. Well, the millennials, we just dark humor, but yeah.
But you know, it's something we all go through, so like, that's, I think it's, you know, it's something good to talk about, it for sure, to get it out there, like, address it, because I said, like, we kind of mentioned it off mic, you know, you never know who's going to need to hear these songs or hear these lyrics and going through the exact same thing and everything else. And, you know, even though you're sharing your story, maybe you're telling their story too, and like, and they're like, they, you know. So I think it's really powerful stuff to, especially to admit all that and then be like, put it all in a song and send it out to the world.
Exactly. And I think that's what has been my fear, you know, since I've started writing music. It's like, okay, you're doing this, you obviously want to do this for a living, but you had to acknowledge the fact that you are putting your business out into the world for right. everybody to hear. Like, all your drama, like, relationship problems, all of that, like, you putting all that out into the world. But it's just like you said, like, my story of healing could be somebody else's story of healing. Mm-hmm. And I saw that happen with Phoenix Rising, though. So
that's one of my favorite things as a fan. You know, like, I listen to a song, and it might not be, like, you know, verbatim exactly my story, but, like, hearing those things and, like, something I connect to that, like, you know, I've been in that moment, or I can, you know, whatever it is, where you make that song so relatable to where, exactly. I, you know, like, I feel like you're telling my story. Like, that is such a cool thing as a fan, too, like, to be a part of that, too. Like, you know, it just, like, makes you even more of a fan. So.
Yeah, like, that's the music that I gravitated in that grabbed me the most. That's the kind of artist that made me want to become an artist, and then made me realize, like, oh, okay, I can make myself feel these emotions. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can make other people feel this way. Sure. And then, like, it's like, okay, let me get over this anxiety first. We'll see. And when it happened, it's like, oh, I can make people feel. Okay, let's see what I can do with this. So now it's just like, okay, let me see if I can put out a project of work that makes people feel. Yep. So experiment number one.
So you're getting, what kind of response you getting? Do people come up to you after shows and say that, you know, are they connecting? Have you got any of those firsthand stories yet? People,
I'm trying to find a way to word this without sounding ungrateful for the experiences I've had with people. But it's like, it's happened so much to a point to where I'm still shocked that it happens, but it's like I feel like I'm repeating a script to people. Like, when I'm like, oh my God, thank you. And yeah. I really do mean it, but it's like, I found myself repeating it so much. And then I sat and thought about that. I was like, Tara, you really are touching people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was hard for me to accept that, because I've been told my entire life that, you know, like, everything that I felt was unrealistic or unattainable, that me being able to make good music was unattainable. I don't know. It's just things that affected me growing up.
Yeah.
But, like, just having people come up to you at their shows and, like, people crying, just the reaction that I get from all different kinds of people too, like different age ranges, different races, like just different kinds of people being affected by something that I love to do, something that basically saved my life.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I don't know how I could, I don't know what I would say either.
Like, yeah, you know, I just write it down in my journal and I look back like, this shit is actually real. Like, it's so weird. It's like, you feel like a preacher. I don't know. It's like, you feel like, it's like, oh, it's like, so I gotta like be, I'm a healer. It's like, I have to be, I have to accept that I'm out here actually healing people like with sound.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing like to accept when you've been hiding it for so long and you thought it wasn't impactful.
I felt that way, like Michael Franti. You ever listen to him stuff?
Mm-mm.
He's incredible. One of my absolute favorites. And but his live show, like I feel like just like what you said with the healing and the preacher part. Like I feel like when you buy a ticket to his concert, it's like going to his church kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, you know, this is not religious by any means, but the, just that, that interaction of positive energy and the with the people and him and everything else, and it's just like, everybody leaves there smiling and dancing and having a great time, and it's just like so much just good energy in the room. And so anyway, he's but I feel exactly like just what you said is about him as an artist. So he's definitely one to check out for sure if you haven't
give it a listen.
Yep. So growing up, I was wondering, just kind of go back a little bit too, like. You were saying that that these were like wasn't an obtainable goal and stuff. Like, what? So if this wasn't something you were thinking about wanting to, you know, do? And you said you grew up with having to sing in church and stuff, and mom being the choir director and things. But like, as far as like thinking of as being an artist for a living and stuff, like, what were you wanting? What were you growing up wanting to be then? Like, what were you?
The crazy thing is I've always wanted to be a artist.
Yeah.
Since the fifth grade, I've kind of just known. Because I drew, like, I did fashion. I want to be a fashion designer, too. Mm-hmm. But I just started off, like, just constantly expressing myself through art, any kind of art medium I could find. But music was, like, the thing that I gravitated to the most. And then I found out I had perfect pitch in high school. I didn't even know what that was. Like, I just thought everybody had that until my opera teacher was like, do you have perfect pitch? Because I, like, just said, I was like, oh, that's a C right there. And he, like, did the test. He made me turn around and, you know, cover my eyes while he played notes. What's this note? I was like, oh, G, F, E, F sharp, you know. So it's like the more I stepped into like taking music serious, the more I would realize like different types of gifts I had within music. I started producing, then I started, you know, composing my own, just creating sounds that came from in my head and making them a reality. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I believed it was unattainable is because my family, like, as much as they love music, they don't see it as something that you can make a career out of. And then also they are in the church. So, you know, you kind of get that judgment, like, oh, you're making a worldly music. Yeah. You're going to hell. Like, yeah. But, you know, you kind of get seen as like the black sheep. And I was the golden child growing up. Like, I was a kid that got all the good grades and like stayed to myself and got bullied, didn't get, you know, but I just grew up to kind of step into my power. Mm-hmm. And it's like the more I did music, the more I stepped into that power, and it's just like my reality immediately like show, like, okay, you're doing the right thing, keep going with it.
Right. There's do you ever watch Conan at all? Not to like.
I used to. Conan O'Brien?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch him every day.
Not to like make a
joke out. He was very beautiful what he just said, but he always he's just an ass. Like, he cracks me up. But he would always do this thing, like, where he would, like, make a joke out of me, and then, like, and he would act like he cried. You know, he was crying, and then he would always, like, suck up his own tears, and his tears made him stronger and stuff. And, like, he would always flex, and, like, and it always just made me laugh. But, like, you know, there's something to that, though. Like, as much as goofy and funny as it is, but, like, you know, that pain and that struggle and everything else, like, going through all that stuff makes you stronger.
It's empowering.
So it's cool. It's really cool to see you own it all today. And, like, you know, just, like, and I've, you know, I've seen video of your live shows and stuff, like, especially in, I was actually watching one today, your Maroon 5 set from Undercover Weekend.
God, so yeah.
Like, you know, just, like, which was a lot of fun. Actually, I forgot about that, like, because I think that's where I first heard your name, was, like, Mike came on the show to plug Undercover Weekend and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that is my homie.
Yeah, so it was cool to, you know, it took a little while, but now we're, you know, getting, so your name has been on the show once before. Before today, so that was, but that was watching that set, and, like, it was just kind of crazy to watch you do your thing on, you know, singing these Maroon 5 songs, and especially stepping out from behind the keyboard, and
that's my favorite thing to do.
So that was pretty wild. Is that I was kind of wondering, though, what was that all about? Like, what is did you pick Maroon 5, or is that?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, my music influences, the music that I listen to is very, very, a great variety of just a lot of different crazy artists. Like, I can go from, like I said, Claude Debussy to freaking Scorpions or something like that. Like,
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yeah, like, no, not 80s band Scorpions.
Oh.
The earlier, okay. Like I said, that sweet spot of music.
Okay.
You know, they was popping then. I don't know what happened. You know, they got all mainstream and shit. But
it happens to a lot of them.
It's like, no, why?
Yeah.
But the variety of influences that I have and the people that I listen to, like, I planned on, like, doing a rock band, but Maroon 5, I was like, okay, this is let me do something safe in between. Like, you know, I did Lauryn Hill the year before. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me make a safe, like, bridge between Lauryn Hill and fucking Led Zeppelin or some shit. Because people would be confused.
Yeah.
So Maroon 5, they were like a safe medium. And then, like, Songs About Jane is one of my favorite albums.
Yeah.
One of their best albums to me.
For sure. Yeah, he, Adam, like, that guy's got crazy vocals and a great songwriter and stuff. But
yeah,
it's fun, though. Like, so I saw he did, like, a Howard Stern's birthday show thing. Mm. And there's, like, video of him performing Purple Rain and stuff. And he did, like, a couple of Prince songs and stuff. So, and it was, like, that was really cool. And, like, and it just, like, so it's funny, you know, just, like, the fact that artists are doing all these, you know, covers and stuff, you know, even, like, so you're doing Maroon 5 and then he does Prince and all. It's just, like, you know, it's just funny to see different interpretations of different music all the time. And even when you did Maroon 5, like, you still brought a little more soul and funk into it and stuff. And, like, and so it didn't just sound like the record, which I thought was fun to see, or, you know, as you're, you know, putting that, your own touches on everything. So not sound like the records. And I always enjoy that about a cover too.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do with covers. I take the songs of, like, my favorite artists, or my favorite song by my favorite artist, and, like, kind of do, like, I would have did it this way.
Yeah.
I hope it's not disrespectful, though.
I mean, like I said, if I wanted to listen to their version, that's all out there, you know? So it's nice to hear your own take on it and stuff. So that's one of my favorite kind of things. It's like when you do go to a show and you hear somebody does that, but it's like something so different, like, where you're, like, listening for a couple, you know, couple bars go through, and, like, you're like, I know this song, hold on, and, like, and then that chorus hits, and all of a sudden you're like, it's like, oh yeah, there it is, you know. So it's like, so it's almost unrecognizable at times, and then all of a sudden that big sing along comes along.
Exactly.
So again, November 29th, The Dark Room, big album release party. You can find all things Katera on Facebook and Instagram and kateramusic.com. And get involved and find if you can't make the 29th, there'll be plenty more shows. We do have every second Friday. You are have a residency there, like you kind of mentioned.
Yes, yes.
So you can find her every second Friday at 10 p.m. at the Dark Room. So what's what does that mean to you? Like, to is that, I mean, do they just send, you just get a call one day, they invite you to be a residency, or how's that?
I wish.
How's that come about?
The funny thing is, it's an application for it.
Okay.
It was a whole application process. I was very, man, I cried when I found out I got that, because I was going through a lot and I needed some form of income from music. And like the very day I got an email from them telling me that I got accepted into the residency. But I know my ex, you know, what got my foot in the door is that Oren Raglan, he is 19 now, but he started off at 16, 17. Brilliant, genius musician and composer, producer. He had a residency at the Dark Room, and I was singing for him and his quintet. So I had already like had my foot in the door as like as far as experience there. And I was like, you know what? That'd be awesome if I had my own residency. It's like, I want to play the piano and sing, like show people that I'm a serious musician. So I applied for it, like, and I, you know, prayed on it. I affirmed myself in it, and I let it go. I didn't think about it. I was like, okay, I'm not going to sit here and panic about it. And, like, just when I had stopped thinking about it, like, I got the email saying I got accepted. And it's a huge, huge, huge blessing for me.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So shout out to Kransberg's, Kransberg Art Foundation. You also, along with being a part of that, you're also part of the Farfetch Collective.
Oh, yes.
Can we talk about that some, too?
So you remember the snowball effect I was telling you about?
Right.
Okay, this is a long story, but I have to tell it because you got to see how crazy, like, life has been ever since I stepped into my purpose. But so I performed in FemFest. FemFest is an all-female showcase by Bates. Mm-hmm. Joined that at the last minute, decided to perform. It was a 10-minute short little set. This man named Luke Machowski, he works for the Cherokee Street Foundation. He saw me perform, loved my performance, and asked me to perform in Cinco de Mayo or in Cherokee. I was like, yeah, why not? I'll do that. Performed in Cinco de Mayo, which is where Damon saw me. Damon Davis is the head of the creator of Farfetch. I found out later that they had been watching me for some time, like at all these, you know, the different performances that I kept being invited to. And he invited me to come to Miami and record a revolutionary album for Black people. Just, you know, with everything that's going on right now, something to empower Black people. He brought me down to Miami. We recorded an album, came back and got signed to Farfetch. And like I said, it's just going up ever since then.
Yeah. I love what the Farfetch Collective is. It's like, if you don't know, now you do. Go find whatever you can. Click play and listen to it all, because it's all incredible. There's so many amazing artists part of that. And the world needs to know more about them, because there's some really incredible music coming out of St. Louis.
And, it's a lot of hidden gems in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. So, I think we are farfetch.net. Is that right? Something like that? So check that out. And I think that goes right to the Bandcamp, and you can pretty much find every artist on the collective and download their music. And so support some original local music.
Yes, yeah. Please.
So again, November 29th, come out and grab your copy of Coke,
Coco Voyage.
Yeah, there we
are. Coco Voyage.
Yeah, I'm having a tough time today.
It's a Monday and a retrograde.
Yeah, something's going on. But I really appreciate you doing this. This has been incredible. I've been having a ton of fun hanging with you tonight. And I can't wait to for everybody to give this record a listen and see what happens next, because this is just the start. I mean, I know there's going to be big things coming, so I'm just I'm excited to see what happens next, and wish you all continued success and great things coming. So thank you very much for doing this.
And, thank you, Shane. Thank you, y'all, for listening.
I say we do it again sometime soon. I feel like we just scratched the surface on this, but
oh yeah, because I can talk for hours about this stuff.
Sure, but this has been fun, though. So thank you, and big shout out again to The Pocket. Check them out, thepocketstl.com, and come check them out here. So, all right, I'm out of here. Thanks, Katara.
Bye.
Bye.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.